That, my brothers and sisters, is what you call the gospel. We can just stop and go home right now. Amen. Wow. Thank you, little sister. That was precious. And thank you, Mom, for bringing her to our presence this morning. I want to welcome you to the State of the Church, the beginning of this year, 2019, by way of getting into what God is doing here. I want us to go back to State of the Church 2018. And seems like just yesterday to me. I don't know about you, but man, has it rolled by rapidly. At this time last year, for those who have been tracking with us, we were in Romans chapter 11. And so we're now finishing up Romans 13. So it's taken us a year to move from chapter 11 to chapter 13. But Paul was teaching us something there in Romans 13 I want to take you back to. And it's a view of the church and the way that God sees the church. Because we look at church wrong. You know, when I was doing church planting at the association, I used to have groups of potential church planters that would come, and I would work with them for a long time, helping them to get a vision for planting churches. And I would tell every one of them, I said, if we could, you know, open you up and dig deep down inside of your soul and pull out the template for what you think a church is, there would be a picture of a church building down in your soul. And I said, that's not the church. And we need to eradicate that thought from our thinking. So listen to these words from Romans 11. This was last State of the Church scripture. It says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. And so this imagery here of root and branch, of being grafted in, of being broken off, this is a totally organic view of the body of Christ. It is a living organism, and it is the biblical language. It's not all of it. We're going to see some more of it later on, about how God sees the church. And we need to start rethinking what we're talking about when it comes to the church. Jesus used similar language over in John 15 in his very famous analogy of the vine and the branches. Listen to these words from chapter 15 of John. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear yet more fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And this really cuts through the marrow, if you will, about what the church is. Notice the activity there for us as branches. We are to abide and bear fruit. That's our activity. God is working. It's His work. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus Christ Himself is the true vine. And the root of all of that is the very gospel itself. The gospel is God. God is the gospel. And so many of you could stand right now and testify how God grafted you in. Amen. When you were separate, when you were wild olive shoot, as he talks about there. So, we the church are the vineyard of God. That's the imagery. I like that. Now, he talks about us in many ways, the body and so many other things. But here he talks about us being the vineyard of God. That is how God sees us. We're not buildings. We're not programs. We're not budgets. We're not all of those things that we focus so much on. And those are necessary things. I like having a building. Amen. I think it's 20-something degrees outside. You want to go out there and worship? In certain places, it's just really nice to have a building. You know, we had NASA here last week. And, man, they don't have buildings even for homes for a lot of the people in the Nuba Mountains. If you remember, many of them are living in caves and rocks because they're afraid of being bombed. So it's nice to have buildings. It's nice to have budgets. You know, there's things in this culture, very materialistic, consumer-oriented culture, that you just got to do, right? And you can be a blessing to other people. But we're a living organism. We're alive. And really, more than anything today, I hope that you get that. That if you're a member of the church, that there is a local organism where you join together with others that have been grafted into that true vine, and that God is working there, and there needs to be some abiding and some fruit production. Amen? And so think through your life this past year. What's it been like? We are the branches, yes, but we are workers. We are workers too. Abiding and bearing fruit is work. It takes work. Jesus calls us workers in the vineyard. Over in Matthew 20, and this scripture's on your handout, by the way. We won't go all into it until a little later. But in verse 1 of that chapter, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Do you see that? God is saying, you are the laborers in my vineyard, in my field. He's brought you on board to do something. We're God's workers. We are the church. At Christ Community, we have tried to organize our structure, the organism of the church, in a relational, organic fashion. That's a little different than a flow chart, top-down, hierarchical view, a business model view of what many churches deal with. But it's tough because many of you came out of one of those churches and you want to impose that thinking on the way that we're trying to do church here at Christ Community. But it's not a flow chart. It's not top down. It's not hierarchical. It has centers of activity. And we tried to structure this around the elders and the deacons. So you have three elders, and there's a deacon that works with each elder in a certain center of activity. And God has been good to us. He's blessed us with three elders that sort of mesh into those different ways of responsibility. You're going to be hearing from them in just a little bit. But we have communications team, we have the strategy team, the operations team, which covers all of the different areas of responsibility for what we do as a church. You're going to hear reports in just a moment. But I want you to try to begin to think about this in a different way. It's our desire, both myself and the other leaders, for every member of Christ Community Church to be integrated into the very life of the church. In other words, God has been the one who brought you here. And it's our desire that you be grafted in according to your giftedness, according to your passions, so that you serve. And we're blessed at Christ Community. We're not a large church. We have a very high rate of participation, amen? I mean, when we get buzzing, guys, stand by, we can move some earth, amen? We can plow some ground and we can do some things. Relational model, though, sort of ebbs and flows like that. We do this by trying to integrate all the members in every area of life. Did we have one of those forms, My Service at CCC? I think there's one right under there. Would you hold that up for just a minute? Or let me see that. There you go. This is a form. They're out in the foyer. Every year at this time, we try to recruit new people to serve in different positions.
Because a lot of people, as we're going to talk about later on, you sort of go asleep in your life, right? You know, things happen. You get some distance. You get knocked down. And you need a little healing time. You need to back off. And then, before you know it, time's gone by, right? What's the guy who went to sleep under the tree and Rip Van Winkle and he woke up and his whole life had passed him by? We don't want that, right? And God is telling us to wake up. See, there's a place for you to serve according to your giftedness in this body, to be grafted in, to abide in the body, and to bear fruit. So, as you're thinking through this, not only today, which is the, sort of the official state of the church, but next week we're going to hear from Joel. Last week we heard from Nasser. The end of February we're going to have our vision banquet, and the whole month of March is dedicated to missions. So we're trying to get moving here the first part of the year because there's much to be done. There are many fields that we're involved with. We have the nearby fields that we've been working this past year. We've had the Navajo, with the Nuba, the nations. They're all fields where we work. So we're blessed. We have many people here who pour themselves out week after week, month after month, year after year. They've been doing this for a long time. And so I want you to be encouraged and lifted up today because there's fruit bearing that's going on because of your efforts. God has gifted you to serve into this body and to do His work. Just now I'm going to invite several people to come and testify. By the way, if you're giving a testimony, would you come on up here and get on the front row so we can move you through pretty rapidly? Got a lot to cover today, and I don't want us to tarry that long. Again, we move in these relational spheres of responsibility, and things happen that a lot of us are unaware of, but you can see from this image that there's overlapping, that they're not disconnected. Part of this is you don't want to silo things, so you have something happening in total exclusion from something else, and that's a big problem in all of life because we're fallen, fickle, finite, foolish people, and we don't always do what we're supposed to do. You know, I'm sort of like the mad professor sometimes, right? I see something, I'm gone on it, and everybody else is like, where'd he go? What's he talking about? What's he doing? And that's okay. I just need somebody like David to sort of grab hold of me and pull me back and say, wait, you can't do that. So right now, David, I want you to come on up. David is our operations guy, and he's going to explain what all that deals with, the nuts and bolts and everything that's happening in Christ's community. So there you go, brother.
Good morning. But before I get to the real nuts and bolts called dollars, I want to talk about a couple other things in our area. First of all, by a show of hands, how many of you know what a realm is? Okay, by my estimates, actually more than that, I look at the database, as of this morning, 11 members of this church do not know what realm is. At the end of this month, the city will go offline. The software company has decided not to support it anymore, and we are replacing it with realm. Those of you who are already on it, I hear great reports. Some groups have already moved all of their operations to Realm. It is very intuitive, it is very user-friendly, and it has capability we didn't have before. One of the things we will roll out this year in Realm, when after they get their payroll module working properly, will be to move the budget, all of the financial workings to Realm. Thing that comes with that, which I've heard many of you ask about, is e-giving. It will be rolled out as soon as we can switch the finances to Realm. So bear with us. We had hoped to do it at the end of this month, but the beta testing is not done. All right. Another area is taking care of the security of the church, not as in the people that are watching over the church physically, but this is more from the insurance and liability area. And as the world continues to decay, and we can all attest to that being the case, our insurance requirements have increased dramatically. You'll see that in the budget, as every year our insurance cost goes up. One of the things we were requested, or rather required to do to keep the same rates on liability, was to have an action plan to deal with alleged abuse. We have rolled that out, and every member of this church has some training, very brief, that you must go through to properly represent the body. So we'll be doing that shortly. Stay tuned. All right, let me get now, you each have a copy attached to your bulletin. Thank Janice when you see her or talk to her. I'm going to fly through this thing. In the very top of it, the top of the first page here, you see the revenue side. Missions giving was considerably below what we estimated. We had some carryover from last year, and then we had an excess this year that we were able to fully fund missions. However, you drop down the tithes and offerings, it exploded in a good way this year. $20,000 over budgetary estimates.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, that's right. This time last year, as Greg was saying, we were reporting on the most abysmal balance sheet that we've ever had in this church. And we took some radical action, made some big changes in the budget. In part, to a large part, that's what you see the excess for. But that $20,000 up there certainly did help. Moving down the first page, you'll see some insurance things down toward the bottom that we overspent. I have no choice there. And there's a little more going on. We were blessed this year. We put money aside to do some major HVAC work. We didn't have to do it. Hallelujah. Utilities climbed again, and we're chasing that target. Down at the very, very bottom, you get to really the thing that you're here to hear. At the very last line, that $30,000 is not negative this year. It has been negative every year I've been here. That $30,000 is positive. Now, what do we do with it? We can have a big party.
Yeah.
Buy Greg a really nice truck. Well, not really for 30, used. But we are looking at the most prudent way, obviously, to spend that money or to save that money. Part of it likely to be doing the HVAC systems. There is money in here to replace at least one unit. To replace all the units on the plant here was probably close to $100,000 today. It was $65,000 when we bought the property in 2011. So it has, I'm sure, continued to rise. You will be hearing more from us as we talk to you about our ideas. We want this to be saved or spent with everyone's agreement. If you are having, if you have questions on the budget, or if you have difficulty with Realm, it's either myself, Nathan, and I'm going to put two people on the spot, Sarah or Ashley, they can certainly help you get started. If it's an actual database problem or we have to get you set up, see Nathan and I, or they'll direct you to us. Again, I'll be around for questions. Thank you.
All right. David is just the face of this team that operates everything that goes on around us all the time. There are people who are doing maintenance on buildings and grounds, communication stuff, all kinds of infrastructural things. And so let's give them a big hand. We know who you are, and we appreciate you tremendously for everything that you do. Praise the Lord. Don is the guy that's sort of responsible for communicating. And again, that's not just from here to there. It's from the time you walk on the campus. It includes and it overlaps with our social media and all of those things that we try to get the word out with to people to help communicate. So, Don, come and share everything that's happened, or not everything, but many of the highlights that's happened this year.
The highlights. Well, my name is Don West. And for the record, and God in his infinite wisdom and mysterious sense of humor put me in charge of communication in our church. So if you know me, you know that's kind of a stretch sometimes. But it's something that we're working on. I've talked to people at other churches, big churches, small churches around the city, and communication is one of the number one problems that they complain about and have trouble with. So We understand that this is important, so we're working on every aspect, and we're open to suggestions. But communication has to be, you know,
two ways.
We got to put it out there, but it's got to be received. So we need the body to be listening and looking and checking realms and stuff like that. A couple of things I want to hit on, though, first is under communications, praise team is part of what I do. And I want to say God has blessed us over this last year that our praise team, we had a small lineup this morning, but we have many people involved in it. A couple of new sound guys getting trained back there. We have a new soundboard, And that's been a blessing because we didn't even realize the clarity that we were lacking until we got it. Matt's doing a great job as our head sound guy back there learning it, and he's going to help teach more to know how to use it. Carol's my candlelight this year. I don't know about you, but I had a great time. We had, this place was about as full as we've had it. We had several hundred, a couple hundred, just under 1,000 people in here, and it was packed. So, but it was such a great, it was such a powerful night. There were people worshiping, and it was, we were interacting with people who don't even have church homes and maybe don't even know the Lord, and how great was that? We had this past year, we brought on several new members. We have Jonathan and Vicki Farrell. We have Jody and Carrie Pierce, and we, I started to say Jody and Carrie Crane, but that would not, we don't do that here. And so, but they went through Discovery class and became members, which is exciting. We've got a couple more I've talked to this year that are going to be going through it really soon. Baptisms. We had Carrie got baptized. Randy and Carol's nephew, who's going into the military, Christian Little John, got baptized, and he's not a member of our church, but he's connected now to our church where we can support him as he goes off. And we had a special service a couple weeks ago with that. I love when I have to call Tom and Wanda and say, fill up that baptism because we're going to baptize. We're going to testify. And so I've talked to, there's a couple people I've talked to that are very close to getting baptized here in the near future. So y'all be praying for that. We'd love to see that. Also, hospitality and greeters is under communications. One of the, where's Wayne at? Wayne is our resident Canadian, and he is a quintessential greeter. He does such a great job. And he meets you out there, he hugs you, and if you're not a hugger, he respects that and backs off. But I want him to be training this year. He's already, we've been talking, he's already got a few people he's already eyed and said, I think they would be good to bring into this ministry. We want to enhance that to where, really what the greeters are doing is just mobilizing us to be better greeters and be aware of people who come in the door. But if you've ever come in the door of this lobby, you've seen him, and he's probably giving you a hug or a warm smile. So if you're interested in being a greeter, it's one of the great gateway ministries. You just show up, and you have to be somewhat friendly, right? Yeah. But Wayne can train you in that. So so if you're interested in that, we would love to have you do that. That is the first impression people get when they come in. Greg said communication is from when you come in to all the way through the service. That's that first place, and we want that to be very done with intentional efforts. So also, the lobby, if you noticed, that has been decorated. We're just about finished out there. Took a little while, but we have this really great motif going out there. Kara and Ashley were a big part of that, and Lynn and Dylan. We have many people working on that, and I just think it looks warm and inviting. So y'all give them a big hand for that. That's part of the kingdom. That's what they're worshiping through their gifts. Also, we have the screen. If you notice, this has been like a dream of mine for about 12 years. And Ashley Buzz helped set that up where we can come in. It's got scripture. It's got announcements. It's telling about what's going on. It's things that we need to know. So when you come in, look at it because it's right there in front of you. And then some other areas of communication we're working on to get better is in the bulletin. And you'll hear it from up here in the pulpit, but you'll also hear it in your community groups. Also, under Ashley and Sarah Turner, we have the social media. We have Instagram and Facebook that get hit with stuff, and then we have the REM. So there's much ways we can communicate our information to one another. So get involved in all of those. Also, let me just say this. There's two other things. One is security team. Dylan is heading up the security team. We have, I won't name the names because I think it's better if they stay kind of, you know, incognito, but we have about seven men who are in charge of making sure this place is secured. Some of the things they do is they've got their eyes and ears open all the time, watching and making sure everybody is safe and sound. And that's a good thing these days because we live in a crazy world. We do keep this north door over here locked at all times where people come in this back entrance. You can leave these for fire exits or whatever, but we come in this door. Also, in the nursery, we have that door is locked after the service starts, is that right, 9:45? And that way, because we're in two buildings, that way Nita and her workers and the children are safe. And then our security team, are, if they're not, we're working towards this where they make sure they're a touch point. They go, hey, we're over here, make sure you feel safe. And so that's very important, so you can rest easy with that. And the last, well, there's two things actually left. One is very important and near to my heart is prayer. We have gone through different things with prayer in this church, and it's never going to go away because it is what is the most important thing that we come in here is we pray and we have that communication with our Father. So on Sunday mornings, 9:25 to 9:45, we have a time of prayer. And sometimes we're reading scripture, and you don't have to pray out loud. You can come and just join your heart in prayer. And then we pray for the church, pray for our country, we pray for the service. It's very important, and I believe when I've seen God move the most during our worship time is when we've had a powerful time of prayer. Don't let it scare you. I know some people are scared to pray, and it's like awkward. You come in, you don't have to pray out loud. You just come and join your heart, and we go before the Father. It's a wonderful thing. Also, Lynn, we have talked about getting, you know, this chain going again where we can need prayer needs and have a prayer team that wants to pray over that. So we're working that for the near future. And lastly, we have our community groups. That's the lifeline of our church. That is where church is really done. This is corporate. We come, Greg preaches, we worship, it's all wonderful. But when we go into our community groups, we meet one another, we minister in our spiritual gifts to one another, and we serve one another, and it's so important. We know that not everybody can come every week to community group and be 100% in attendance, but our goal is that we have a 100% connection, because that's how we know how to minister to one another. That's how we know to pray for one another. That's how we know how to do life with one another. So I want to encourage you. We have either 6 or 7 groups right now, counting the 412 youth.
Seven,
yeah. And so we want, this year I would love to see us, obviously I'd love to see us double that, but anytime we could add that, we need homes, we need leaders, and we need people to say, I'm going to do this as my ministry. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to meet some people. So anyway, you guys can help us with our communication by giving us feedback in love, but also to do your part and listen and pass on information to others. Thank you.
Amen. Don called out a lot of the names of people who do things. He didn't hit them all, I'm sure. Let's give them a big hand and thank them for what God is using them to do in our body to communicate. Well, strategy. Our mission statement is lost to leader. Lost to leader. That's what we are all moving toward all the time. At Christ Community, that starts with the smallest, youngest member in the nursery and goes right up to the old folk like myself. Amen. You have to have an emphasis on evangelism and missions, and that's what strategy is all about. Miss Nita has poured out her life here for many, many years working with our kids. And man, we've got a lot of little ones right now. I was in my community group Friday night, and we had a whole long table. Yeah, completely covered with 90% little girls, and there were 4 little boys in there. But we had like 16 little girls in there, and I was just like, wow, that's incredible. Come up here, Miss Nita, and share what's going on back there. And she always has, I'm going to go ahead and just say it, need for new people to come and help her.
You know, Greg calls me this week, or text me. Did you text me? You texted me. Yeah. You texted me and said, you have a part Sunday in the state of the church. And I'm like, why? So anyway, I came up with a few things to say, not very much. But I do want to say I'm very thankful for our children. And that goes back to I'm very thankful for our parents that bring these children to Christ Community. You make an effort, even on a cold day like today, you make an effort, you get the kids dressed and they have their little moments where they're sassy or what's it, breakdown? She had a little cranky. So, but they still come. So I'm very thankful. I'm also very thankful for our volunteers this year at Christ Community. I want you to know that we probably have more teachers this year that started our year in September. We have more teachers this year than we have ever had at Christ Community. Yeah, that is very exciting. It's just very awesome. We're blessed. I want to say that our children run from here across the way down the hall into their classes. And I want to say I think it's because of the Bible study and the teachers. But, you know, maybe, maybe not. They've been sitting in here. They're probably tired of sitting. They're tired of not being able to talk. So they love their time over there so that they can meet with their friends and they can socialize with their friends, but also they can have the Bible study. So I'm just very thankful for our teachers that are there every Sunday. And as Greg did say, yes, we're always in need of volunteers. My greatest needs are substitutes for, say, Miss Pam. Where's Pam? Is Pam in? There's Pam. So that when she is out of town, she has a person she can call on and depend on that can come into that class, that girls' class, and take up right where she left off, or just come in and be there with the girls. Bobby needs a substitute teacher. He's with the older boys, just a boys' class. He needs someone that when he's not here, that can take that class and just be that person for that class. Dina and David co-teach. They switch off Sundays, but there's also still a need when David has to be here and Dina may be out. We just need somebody that we can call on and say, can't be there. I need some help. And that leads me to a really big need. I need someone to be me when I am not here. I call on Kara and Pam a lot, but they already have their own responsibilities. And I need someone because I will be gone at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, to go take care of my mom. And so I really, really, really need someone to be me so that I don't have to depend on Kara Martin when she already has responsibilities in the ladies' class and Pam already has responsibilities. So if you're interested in serving anywhere over in the children's ministry, just come see me. And because you serve in any role here at CCC, it's vital to our body of Christ. And I am very blessed that I'm able to serve for you and with you here at Christ Community. So that's really all I have.
Thank you. And all of you ladies and guys who serve in those nursery and preschool areas, Lord bless you and keep you and multiply you, because I know that sometimes it gets really intense in there when little ones get fidgety and out of sorts. So thank you so much for what you do and how you do it. But they grow up, right? And then they've got to get out. And so the Lord laid upon a couple of couples in our church last year, to start a the external ministry for young people of Christ Community. They call it 412. It was a vision that came about. Well, I'll let you share that. Come on up here, Nathan, about how God brought this into being and what's happened that first year of its existence.
So I'm Nathan, right? I'm your designated 412 spokesman for the day. Like Greg said, this was born out of a calling on our lives that was completely unexpected. As you can see, I'm missing my, counterpart here for our stand-up routine. We're sorely missing today. But JT proposed this in his room. What are we going to do about something for our kids? And I was like, well, it's not going to happen unless you do it. And he was like, okay, well, let's do it. We're in. We're going to do this. And so we did. So we're now, this month marks a year into 412 Youth Group. So 412, what is 412? That we take that verse from 1 Timothy 4:12. like probably a lot of you, I really like Paul, but I really like his relationship with Timothy. It kind of speaks to me, nurturing, encouraging. He passes that torch on to Timothy and gives him that charge to go and faithfully preach and teach. But it says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." So that's what we try to do with the kids. We try to encourage them. We try to challenge them. We try to teach them so that they can go on to be, number one, believers. Number two, faithful witnesses and productive members of society. But in doing so, we went through a book study, Case for Christ for Kids, and have transitioned 6 or 7 meetings ago now to working through catechisms. So we're going to be starting on catechism number 7. So we use that time to teach them about who God is. And so it's awesome. It's a blessing to us. And like Nita said, the kids are excited. The kids have a good time. My kids, I don't know about some of the other kids, are dying to know when 4/12 is going to be. Is it this Monday? Is it next Monday? So we do it every 2 Mondays a month, the second and fourth Monday. So we're just want to lay out the format so people truly understand what we're doing at our house on these meeting nights. So we're going to kind of open the doors at 5:30 is kind of the official start time, 5:30. If you can get there, great. If not, no big deal. We start pizza at 6. We start the lesson at 6:30. We hope to have the lesson completed by 7:30, but if not, we're going to open till 8. And so if you end up dropping off, 8 o'clock is kind of the cutoff time, and so we'll use that end time as free time to spend with each other. Because that's a big part of what the kids enjoy also, is that relational aspect of just being together and being allowed to be kids. We've got a couple of functions throughout the year. Those are flexible and movable targets, but those are still in work. But we've got some ideas that we'll present when that time is correct. That's pretty much all I got.
All our people. And there are people, we're not going to go into all this. Ladies' ministry has always been a big deal here. They do retreats every year. We have men's groups that meet at different times and stuff like this. But all of this is all about equipping people to carry out the mission of the church. So I just want to speak just a little bit about some things that have happened, and then I'm going to introduce one of our missionaries. He's going to come and share us and give us an update on what the Lord's been doing with him. This past year, and actually it's been several years long, we've been trying to penetrate into the Rossville Ranchette area, which is a small community outside of Rossville, moving back towards Oakland on Highway 194. And the Lord has been gracious to us. He opened up and gave us households of peace through relationships that were cultivated in other ministries in Rossville. And so this past year, 2 times we were able to go into that community in small groups and to do some ministry, to just sort of test the waters, to sort of plant some seeds, to maybe cultivate some relationships. I wish I had time for some of you who are part of that to come up and talk about the people that you met, the relationships that you developed. But one of the big things that we did back in the summer or fall, it was probably fallish, right, is we were able to go in and sort of have a time of fellowship with the community's leaders, the families in there. We had great food. We had fun. We had games. We played different things together, sat around and just talked. We were able to give out, going back to school, backpacks and to Bibles to the children in the community. But the greatest thing was just slowing down. I mean, for me, I remember sitting in a little circle behind Miss Dee Dee's house, and some of you were there, and it was just so powerful to me. I mean, you're sitting there with people that you never would have contact with, and they're just talking about the things in their life, and they're very transparent and they're very open. And so those relationships right there are the field that we're talking about. That's the soil that we're talking about planting the seed of the gospel in. And that happened. And then we were able to go back and do some Christmas caroling again, give out some invitations to come to Carols by Candlelight right at the end of the year and sort of cultivate those again. We're making plans to continue to develop and to build on that opportunity that we've had. You know, our sister church, Comunidad en Cristo, continues to thrive. If Doug was here, he would tell you about the things that God is doing there, how leadership is turning over and changing, but it is growing as well. These are fields that are right around us. We have a group on campus here that meets. It's a men's group. It's called Delta Group. And we have been praying over, and we actually visited in this community, which is south from here, and we're thinking about how to penetrate into that. That's all in the nearby. And our strategies, nearby, Navajo, Nuba, and Nations. We heard from the Nuba last week. This week, I want us to slow down for just a moment. Brother Keith, if you'd come on up. Is Brother Keith in here? There he is, right there. And if you want to bring your sweet spouse with you, she can come too, but not, that's okay. Brother Keith has been the leader of Navajo Mission now for how many years?
Four and a half.
4.5 years. That is an older ministry that this church has been involved with from its inception. That ministry is 30-something years old.
36.
And this church has been involved with it ever since we've existed. So many of you have been out there many times. I've been out there twice in different capacities. Some of you have been going for years. We have poured time, talent, and treasure into this ministry. But as we started learning last year, back to the whole pruning thing that's going on in Christ's community, God's been working and doing some different things there. And Brother Keith's going to come and share what all that means for us. Brother?
Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Every mission endeavor that Christ community should be participating in should have a focus about it. It should have a focus of planting churches and training the indigenous people to pastor and lead those churches. Like Brother Greg said, Navajo Mission started 36 or 7 years ago in 1984. That's 35 years ago. 4.5 years ago, Gene and Shirley Kennedy asked Kim and I to take over the leadership of Navajo Missions, and shortly after that, some might say the unraveling began. I like to refer to it more, since we've been studying in Romans, the sovereignty of God in orchestrating exactly what needs to happen and what needs to be done on the Navajo reservation. Y'all have heard me whine enough, and you don't need me to whine anymore today, so I'm not going to. But just to catch you up with where things are, in August this past summer, we found out that Navajo Missions has operated since 2003 as a 501c3, and we found out we were not a 501c3 organization. And you may say, well, what does that mean? And well, that means a lot of trouble. We have been dealing with the IRS since then. We immediately shut down any activity that we were involved in. We still support the church plant at Cornfields out there. We have shut down all donations coming in, and we have postponed all of our mission trips until this gets worked out. Since August, it has been a myriad of activity between us and the IRS, much of which has left us very confused, and it's not a fun thing dealing with the IRS, and especially now that the government is in shutdown mode, it has really hindered our communication with them greatly. We are working with a tax attorney, and we are working with a CPA with nonprofit expertise. The input that we get from all knowledgeable people is you have got to shut that ministry down. It's got to shut down. Now, if you choose to start something else, that's totally up to you. But you need to shut that ministry down. We have not done that. We have kind of resisted that input, opting to wait and see. So we are in a waiting pattern just to see what God has to show us, what His desire is for us to do. We do know that if God wants Navajo Missions or another organization to take its place, if He wants that to exist, it is going to be with the expressed mission thrust of planting churches and building up the indigenous Navajo people to train them to become pastors and leaders within the church. Anything less than that will not be what God would be leading us to do. So we have right now a board meeting scheduled for February 9th, at which a number of very large decisions will be made. So I covet your prayer, your prayers, as Navajo Missions is in a flux right now, we'll say. As we are waiting to see and asking God's vision for what He has in store for us. So we covet your prayers, and especially February 9th at our board of directors meeting. So that's where we are right now.
Well, we want to pray for you special, you Miss Kim, right at the end of the service here today, so don't run away. This has been a big burden. You know, I have talked with Keith several times through not just the past year, but even before that, about things that are going on there. I want to direct your attention to the passage of Scripture we've been looking at for the past few weeks, Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Let's read those together and listen to these words in light of the context of everything we just talked about. Paul says, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night's almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust thereof." Make no provision. Don't enamor yourself with the things that you think are going to get you through where you're going. He says, those days for you are over. It's time to wake up and to set your eyes on the goal of the high calling of Christ Jesus and let go of the things of the past. We are no longer slaves of fear. This is what Paul has been beating into our soul for the past years as we've been traveling through this book. We're no longer slaves of fear. We've been awakened. It's a new day's dawning for us. It's coming at us. And he's saying, put off those wretched clothes that have been, you know, just clinging to you. Put them off and wrap yourself in the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provision for this, because you're no longer a slave of fear. You're a child of God. Oh, wow. See, that's the gospel unleashed in the body of Christ. Who would have ever thought that you would be part of a little body of Christ like this, and you would be touching Navajo people? There's a church plant out there because of people like you. And you've gone out there and you've poured your life into people. I know some of those people. You know some of those people. Who would have ever thought that we would have 13 church plants in Egypt and South Sudan and all the way up on the border of Sudan? Man, God did. God had a vision for that. And he's saying, that's what you're to be about. Who would have ever thought that we would sit in Miss Dee Dee's backyard and sit around and eat whatever we eat that day? Oh, the chicken, man. We kept barbecuing more and more chicken. And talking to people that we have nothing hardly in common with at all, except for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we're all sinners and that we're all hurting and that Jesus is the only hope that we have. Who would have thought that? And as we gather here in all the things that we dream and hope and pray about, you see, God is saying, now is that time. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. And most especially, don't be ashamed to live that out in your life. This is the gospel. This is our time. The darkness is abating. The light is coming. And it's time for us to rise up. So what is the state of the church of Christ's community, this local body, as we enter into the new year of 2019? My brothers and sisters, God is at work. He's moving in all kinds of places, and we don't understand it all, but it's his work. We don't understand when we go through things like they're going through at the Navajo, when he's pruning things and he's bringing revelations, and you're going like, what? We don't understand all that, but that is God's work. This is his mission. This is what Keith was saying. If we're not about planting the gospel out there, we're about nothing. It's the same right here in our house. It's God's work. He's working. He's pruning. He's bearing fruit in the field. This is his vineyard. We are his workers. So let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Come on, Brother Don. Let us rejoice because we're alive in the Lord. Again, look at those terms there. Sleeping, awake, night and day, darkness and light. Workers, all we are, working in the vineyard. The day is dawning, and it's time for us. And he's saying, the owner of all of it saying, I need some more laborers. Come on, I need some more laborers. Come and join in the work. Don's going to come, and he's going to lead us in some worship. But I want to challenge you. We have these forms right out here. If you're here today and you're like, wow, I'm not really plugging in all that, or I used to be and I'm no longer, there's explicit detail in each one of those teams where you can start plugging in. There's opportunities to grow, to serve, to abide in the body, and to bear fruit. So I want to challenge you. Consider this new year that God's given you. It's going to come and it's going to pass just like 2018. And you blink of an eye, it's going to be gone. What are you going to do different in 2019 that you didn't do in 2018? Father God, please awaken us. Call us up out of the stupor of our sleep and let us shake off those wretched clothes of the past and put on the armor of light, to put on Christ and to live for you in these days that are so dark around us that we can be the light of this world. Stand with me if you would.